1981, a survey of American drivers found that 91% of them consider themselves to be better than most other drivers on the road. When asking employees, the same results were found. Most employees rate themselves as better than their fellow employees. This is the same principle that drives the stock market. So in the stock market, each person believes that he is going to choose better stocks than the other guy. I think my favorite survey, though, is one from about 20 years or so ago. They asked folks about heaven. This was the time when O.J. Simpson was on trial for murder, and they asked him, they said, you know, do you think O.J. Simpson is going to go to heaven? And around 19% or so said yes. And President Bill Clinton was in office, known at the time for the Monica Lewinsky scandal there. And they asked people, do you think he's going to be in heaven? And I think 54% said yes. What about Mother Teresa? 74% said yes. They thought Mother Teresa was going to be in heaven. But the person that scored higher than anybody else on this survey was the people who were being asked the survey. 84% of them said that, yes, they would be in heaven. So this is what psychologists know as the illusionary superiority principle. Okay, so pop culture calls it narcissism. This is this illusion of seeing yourself, you know, in a superior way to others. And of course, this isn't new. It's been around for a long time. It was around during our Lord's Day. In fact, you heard about it today in the gospel. Here someone comes up to Jesus and they ask him, hey, have you heard about those Galileans? You know, they were there in their worship service doing sacrifices, and Pilate came in and slaughtered them. And our Lord responds by pulling the rug out from underneath this person, taking a big swing at this illusionary superiority principle. Our Lord says, do you think that those Galileans were worse than anybody else because of what happened to them? You know, or in other words, he said, do you think that you are better because this didn't happen to you? He said, I tell you that you too will perish if you do not repent. He's saying that you might think you're better, you might think you're okay, but no, it's not true. You are going to perish. He wasn't just talking about physical death. If you look at his teaching overall, our Lord was never shy about talking about eternal death, about eternal punishment, eternal separation from God. He was saying what St. Paul would echo in Romans, that the wages of sin is death, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. We tend to delude ourselves into thinking that we're okay, we don't have to worry about these things, but in reality, all of us have fallen short, and we all need to repent. And our Lord says that there is this urgency. This could take place at any time. Your life could be snatched from you at any time. That you too need to repent, or you will perish. So today, I'm hoping to do the same thing as our Lord. I'm hoping to help you to undercut this illusionary superiority principle that all of us struggle with in our self-centeredness, and hoping to move you to grasping this urgency of repentance. So let's dive in. So our Lord, in this teaching, when he said unless you repent, you too will perish, he was talking about the results of sin. According to Catholic teaching, a sin has one of two effects, depending on the gravity of sin. So if it's a mortal sin, this is the most serious kind of sin, it immediately cuts off your relationship with God, causes spiritual death, and if it's unrepented, it'll end in everlasting death, an everlasting separation from God. Okay, that's the first kind of sin. The second kind of sin is what the church calls venial sin. Venial comes from the Latin for for indulgence. It's like a little indulgence. We haven't fully turned away from the Lord. This is often a lesser sin, but it wounds the soul and can quickly move toward mortal sin or mortal death, spiritual death, if it's not dealt with. Now, for me, I was not raised Catholic. I came into the Catholic Church later on. And so finding out about these two different kinds of sin, for me, was incredibly freeing. As a Protestant, I was taught that all sin is the same. Doesn't matter. It's all the same. And so I remember thinking to myself, this is a terrifying thought, because if I sin and I forget or don't have a chance to repent, ask for the Lord's forgiveness, and I die, or the rapture happens, God comes back, something like that, I'm going to go to hell. And it was a terrifying thought. But as Catholics, you know, we understand that Scripture clearly teaches that all sin is not the same, that there's different kinds of sin. You remember when our Lord and Pilate were having this conversation just before his crucifixion, and our Lord said to Pilate, "The one who has handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." An example of our Lord teaching there's different kinds of sin. He taught that those who know more have a greater culpability. The more you know, the higher standard that you're called to. In 1 John chapter 5, it talks about sin that leads to death. So we know it's mortal sin. And then it also talks about sin that doesn't lead to death. So it kind of wounds you, but doesn't lead to death, right? So immediately. So these two kinds of sin, mortal sin and venial sin. So for a sin to be mortal, it requires knowledge, deliberate consent, and grave matter. Okay? Knowledge, deliberate consent, and grave matter. 2 Peter 2:21, it says, "It would be better for them not to have known the way of justice, than after they had known it, to turn back." This is this principle that the greater the knowledge, the more that you know, the greater your culpability will be, the greater the punishment for that. However, this doesn't erase the culpability for those perhaps who didn't hear the gospel preached in its fullness. It does lower it some, but not completely, because Scripture teaches that all of us have what's called natural law written on our hearts all around the world. There's a sense, an inborn sense of what is right and wrong that God has given to all of us. Will be called to account. So that's the first thing mortal sin requires is knowledge, right? So knowledge. The second thing is deliberate consent. That means a person has to freely consent to this sin. So if a person has like a bad habit or addiction, this decreases this because this person is not fully free in this situation. This person doesn't have full freedom. Or if another person kind of pushes you into this, that also decreases your consent that you're giving. So for sin mortal, it needs full knowledge and deliberate consent, freely consenting. And then number three, it needs to have what's called grave matter. Okay, it needs to be something serious. Or in other words, breaking one of the Ten Commandments is what the Catechism defines this as. So, for example, you know, ignoring God, not putting him first in your life through daily prayers and the like, taking the Lord's name in vain, not showing proper reverence for him, profaning the Sabbath, deliberately spurning or publicly, you know, not giving the Lord outward and public thanks through attendance at Sunday Mass. You know, not because you're sick or you can't avoid it because of work or something like that, but because you deliberately, knowingly avoided this. Of course, dishonoring parents, killing, stealing, sex outside of marriage, lying, you know, all these things constitute what we know as grave matter. So when you bring these three together, so full knowledge, deliberate consent, and grave matter, then you have what we know as a mortal sin. It causes immediate spiritual death. You die in that state, you'll be separated from God forever. Now, if one of those things is missing, if it's grave matter, but you don't fully understand what you're doing, some knowledge is missing, but you still deliberately consent to it, then it's what we call a venial sin. If any one of those three is missing, it's a less sin. If you don't fully consent to it, if it's not grave matter, if any one of those three is missing, it's just a venial sin. So it decreases that. Still causes problems. Venial sin wounds, and it could quickly lead toward mortal sin. It lowers you. But if one of those is missing, it's a venial sin. Now, the big question, of course, I know, when it comes to the church's teaching on mortal sin, is, you know, would God really send someone to hell because of one mortal sin? All right, so that seems kind of harsh. You know, what did Jesus mean when he said, unless you repent, you too will perish? I mean, isn't he merciful? You know, won't he judge me on, like, the balance of my life? Like, I've done some good stuff and some not-so-good stuff, and it all kind of comes together. Well, I think our Blessed Mother answers this question best. So in Luke chapter 2, she said, he is merciful toward those who fear him. So having this healthy fear, that's the ones he's merciful toward. It's kind of like the ocean. I think this is the best analogy I can think of, is the ocean, right? The ocean is gorgeous and beautiful. It kind of reminds you of God. It looks infinite when you're standing there. It goes on like forever, seemingly, just like God. And it attracts people by its beauty. It's wonderful. And little children can play and be lapped by its waves as they tickle their feet in the sand. It's wonderful and amazing. But every good parent knows and has this healthy fear of the ocean and seeks to imbue this fear in her children, in his children. You know, you take your children to the ocean, and what do you say? You say to them, listen, you, especially for young children, you are not allowed to go out into the water without an adult there with you. You know, you go over these special rules because you know that in an instant, the ocean, what the ocean can do, what the ocean is capable of, it is incredibly powerful. For those that make a wrong decision with the ocean, it can be mortal very quickly. And the ocean doesn't ask you how amazing of a life that you've lived or how healthy you've lived, or all these good choices up until that point. No, none of those things matter. You know, it's the same thing with, a parent, you know, is very careful with a child. Listen, when you go to the street, you stop and you look both ways. It doesn't matter how good that child was up until then. None of that matters. That car going by at that speed will quickly take that child out. And so the parent works to give this child this healthy fear of what can take place there. This is the same with mortal sin. The balance of your life, all these other things that you did up until that point, doesn't matter at that point. And so I'm having the ocean talk with you, and the look for cars talk with you. This is really important, really serious, will affect your eternal destiny. The Catechism states, we cannot be united with God unless we freely choose to love him. But we cannot love God if we sin gravely against him, against our neighbor, or against ourselves. To die in mortal sin without repenting and accepting God's merciful love means remaining separated from him forever by our own free choice. So do not give in to the temptation to presume on God's mercy. Hear the words of our Lord in the gospel. If you do not repent, you will perish. Especially if it's mortal sin, and don't give in to the temptation of thinking, oh, it's just venial sin, these are lesser things, not a big deal. If you don't work on those, take those to the Lord, those can also quickly take you down, quickly move you toward mortal death. I would also urge you not to give in to the temptation of saying, oh, well, you know, no big deal, it can wait. I can always take care of this later. And I don't really feel like going to confession right now. This is the temptation that our Lord was combating in the gospel also. These people, you know, they didn't expect, they're living their lives sacrificing, you know, doing their worship service when Pilate came in with his soldiers and slaughtered them. Or the tower that was mentioned also, they weren't expecting this tower to fall. Life has lots of unexpected twists and turns. We need to be ready now, not wait. Repent now. God gives some a long life, others a short life. St. Gregory, in the 6th century, a pope, he would say often, "He who has promised pardon to penitents has not promised tomorrow to sinners." Maybe he'll give you more time. Maybe he won't. Each day is a gift. He does not owe any of us a single day, a single moment. And I remember when the war there that's going on in Europe started. I didn't expect this. This is like civilized Europe. This is where people go on vacations and see these historic structures. And now there are troops and armies from all over the world that are gathering there in preparation for who knows how this war may take place. I looked up at the National Safety Council, the numbers just on our lives here, not even in Europe, but our lives here, in life expectancies. Here at St. James, just in the few people that we have here, 10 of you are going to die of heart disease, 8 of cancer. One of you is going to overdose on opioids. Another is going to be killed in a car accident. And that's just with the few people that we have here at St. James. Christ calls you to repentance because he cares about your eternity. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. He says in Ezekiel, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked will turn from his ways and live." Turn back. St. Peter says, "The Lord dealeth patiently for your sake, not willing that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance." So no matter how long or short your life is, all our lives here on this earth are infinitesimally short, tiny, like blades of grass, Scripture says, in comparison to the eternity that is to come, gone and fleeting. So don't wait. I encourage you, especially during this Lent, get things right. Get them right today. Don't give in to the temptation of comparing yourself to others. It's easy to find people who look worse than you and compare yourself to them and make yourself feel okay. But hear the words of our Lord today in the gospel. You think that you're better than those others because you lived while they died? Unless you repent, you too will perish. So I'd urge you, especially if you're in the state of mortal sin, to get to confession as soon as possible, grab a priest. Your eternal destiny is on the line. If you're dealing with venial sin, time to get to work in earnest. It can easily lead to mortal sin. And the church urges that even these be brought to the confessional for healing, for strength, for forgiveness, for special graces. So use this Lent well. Turn to the Lord. Make this the Lent that makes the difference. Repent, or you too will perish. Amen.